Welcome in to Gear the Cure right here on KRFE AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, along the way, phone lines, text line available, 806-745-5800. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. You can always go there, check out past programs and archived shows. If you miss one, certainly go to the website, check it out. You can download it there and listen at your convenience. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you?
Doing great.
Missed you last week. You were at jury duty, was it?
Yes, I was.
Something.
Up in Plainview. We live in Hell County, so the great city of Plainview, doing a civic duty.
How
fortunately,
much fun.
The kind judge up there made a note that he will excuse most people for doctor's appointments. So I got to raise my hand and say I had multiple doctor's appointments. It's just I'm the doctor. Would hate to have to cancel on people. So I was able to get out of it.
Yeah, the last jury duty I went through, I'll never forget. And I was pretty deep. Lubbock County, a little different from Hale County,
right?
The way they do it. But I was probably third row or something. And so it was a car wreck case. Anyway, civil trial. And one of the they're going around the room and, you know, and asking jurors, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? Well, I knew both the plaintiff and the defense or the – you know, the defense attorney and personally,
yeah.
And the judge was like looking at me and I knew the judge as well. And they were all like, yeah, Wade Wilkes, he's not gonna, he's out. And so, because I knew everybody.
They should just have that as one of the exemptions on the questionnaire. Yeah. Are you Wade Wilkes?
If you're Wade Wilkes, you're not getting on a jury trial in this county. It's just not going to happen. And, I'll never forget one question was Billy Eichmann, who's now a sitting district judge. He was the defense attorney in this case before he became a judge. I know him very well. And the plaintiff attorney said, well, how well do you know Mr. Eichmann? And I go, well, he goes, do you have like backyard barbecues, hamburgers? I go, yeah, we've done that before. Mm-hmm. Okay, strike. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And that's just the way it goes because I know those people.
Well,
but anyway, I'm glad you got out of jury duty, right?
Yeah, he also excused another lady, and this will intro us into our topic today, which today's Q&A, but one of these ladies, she was on the front row, and she did not raise her hand for a hardship, but halfway through his proceeding of hardship, she just starts snoring. I mean, just so loud. Everyone was looking at her. The bailiff was looking. The judge looked up, stopped what he was doing, and had to go wake her up. And then, of course, the judge proceeded question her.
In voir dire, she's sleeping.
She fell right asleep in the chair, and she was really overweight. Sleep apnea, I'm almost certain. And the judge, you know, starts to quiz her on how much did you sleep last night? And did you work late or whatever and whatever? No, I'm fine. I do this all the time. I just fall asleep in the middle of stuff. And it got me to just looking around the room and I mean, there's 70 people in there. And the vast majority, not knowing them, just looking at them, they look sick. I mean, from their complexion to their weight to just their vitality in their eyes wasn't there. And it just kind of made me sad. Like this lady, I'm sure sleep apnea, who knows what else, but hypertension usually goes with that. Usually a little diabetes will go with that and, you know, aches and pains and yada, yada, yada. And it just made me really sad that pretty much the standard American is sick.
It's so true, and I was just going to ask you, since this is kind of a Q&A open mic day today, no guest on the phone or in studio, but Mike Ivey had just left, and I said, you know, we have Dr. Ben Edwards coming up, and we were talking about, hey, you know, there's a lot of New Year's resolutions that people who this time of year start looking at things and saying, you know what, I look back on 2018, I did a lot of things wrong, I need to do a course correction. Yeah. And the vast majority of that is going to be what? Health.
Yep.
That's why you see gym memberships skyrocket the first 90 days.
Yep.
I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do all this stuff. And we were talking about it from the financial picture is that you need to do that and coincide with health if you know, I'm not one big on resolutions, but I think it's a good time as the new year brings in to say, okay, fair enough. But if you want to do all that, you know, do them at the same time. However, all that being said is that, one of the things, and I'm asking this as a, in a question to you, doctor, is that one of the things we can do is educate ourselves.
I'm get so glad you said that.
Right? I mean, okay.
And we're about to release another patient testimonial video. We do these from time to time when we have a patient that we think could encourage other people. And we picked this particular couple. It's a husband and wife who came in to see us. And, I mean, kind of the biggest thing, and really it was my front office staff that picked this couple out because they had lost so much weight between the first visit with me and their follow-up visit with the PA, which was 3 or 4 months later. These people were unrecognizable. I mean, the gentleman went from like 250 pounds to 175, I think, in those 4 months, and she lost from 160 down to 118 or something like that. You couldn't even they didn't even look like the same people. And that led to him not having sleep apnea and hypertension that he'd had since his youth was gone, and et cetera, et cetera. But they came in educated. They'd been listening to this radio show for a number of months. And then all I did in that first visit, really, I didn't even do any doctoring, which officially doctoring is either diagnosing or prescribing. Well, I didn't do any of that. He already had his diagnoses, and I didn't prescribe anything. Well, I spent 2 hours or 3 hours with that couple, and 90% of that was educating. I was just teaching them how to bring order to the body. We're not a weight loss clinic, and we can talk about that more later because that's what everyone wants to do in the new year is lose weight. And now he did lose 70 or whatever pounds, 75 pounds, and she lost 30 or 40 because they just brought order to the body. But what they did was go get more educated. After my 2 hours of teaching, I directed them to more stuff to look at to be educated. And we have wellness navigators who continue to support and educate after that first visit. And that's so key. If you can just commit to educating yourself, then you implement the things you learn, you'll bring order to the body and results will happen. You don't have to go work out like a madman for 2 hours every night after work for a month to lose 10 pounds just to gain it all back when you can't sustain that workout.
It's a lifestyle change.
Exactly.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Doctor, you just described me almost to a T a couple of minutes ago. Well, I'm 60 years old. I'm 75 pounds heavy. I've had diagnosed with sleep apnea last summer. And I lost a little bit of weight, and I hadn't had to use the machine lately because of that. I've been doing okay at night sleeping. But I do have a lot of pain, mainly on my right side from a back injury from lifting. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about doing this laser weight loss treatment that I have seen so much on, and I have a friend that's done it that's had wonderful results. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? It's the laser heads that fit, you tie the belt around you and fit the laser heads in.
I'm not exactly familiar with that particular one, but I've looked at things similar to that.
Yeah, it's external. Now, there's internal, too. There's a doctor in Houston that pokes a small little hole and puts a fiber optic in, and you literally just see the fat melting away when they fire that fiber optic, then they vacuum the liquid out of you. I'm talking about doing the external. It takes a little bit long to lose the weight, but I had a friend of mine that lost 50 pounds in 3 months on this.
Yep.
And I just wondered what you thought about it. I'm thinking about getting into that. There are several places here in town that offer it, and I'm thinking about getting into it. They offer 2 treatments a week up to 1.5 hours per treatment. And, you know, of course, I understand you got to stop eating, you know, or it'll come back as fast as you'd melt it. But, you know, if I can change, and I have changed my lifestyle a little bit. I was diagnosed with diabetes in July. Just stage 2, just beginning. She's telling me it can reverse, and I have a good chance getting it reversed if I'll lose 75 pounds ASAP. So that's one reason why I'm kind of in a hurry to get started with this and get going. I just wondered what you thought about it.
Well, again, not knowing the exact specifics of this particular machine, I can tell you that the laser technologies I've looked at, from a safety standpoint, they appear to be safe and effective. So they do what they're usually they do about what they're claimed to do, and they do it pretty safely. So from that standpoint, I would say feel free and go do that. But
you know, the clinic has told me, you know what, if you just keep going like you're going, I mean, it'll melt it. But it can come back, too,
well,
so
that's
you're going to have to get committed here to eat a little bit more fruits and vegetables and change your life, which I have changed my lifestyle quite a bit since the diabetes diagnosis.
Okay. Well, this will be a great topic for the next little bit on the show. I'll speak to this a little bit.
Well, I appreciate your opinion on it. Everything I've read about it, it's very, very safe.
Right.
And I think they advertise it more instead of obesity using it. Like if you've worked out and you just went crazy trying to get that extra 20 pounds off of your tummy, like if you've been pregnant, for example, or something like that, this is an excellent way to do that, you know.
Right.
They don't really advertise it like if you need to lose 100 pounds, this is the way to do it.
Right.
You know,
yep.
But I did have a friend that did it and needed to lose 50, and it seemed to just fall off almost overnight.
Yeah. Well, my issues with that and really any other kind of quick weight loss technique is there's always the but, and the but is it going to come back? And why did it get there to begin with? And if you don't address the reason it got there to begin with, then a year from now it's all going to be back.
I guess the good way about this, as long as your money lasts, you just keep melting it off, I guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty good business model. I might need to get into this laser deal.
You don't have to kill yourself, you know, to get it off. I mean, if you eat that extra piece of cream chocolate pie for Christmas evening, you know, you can just go buy an extra laser treatment and melt it off. I looked into buying one of these machines, and they are for sale. They're $45,000 online.
Oh, great.
So,
all right.
Anyway, well, I appreciate your opinion on the treatment.
Okay, Bob.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. Okay, so lots of stuff to get into on that call.
All right. So here's one thing. You could look at it like this. That excess fat, that extra 70 pounds that you're trying to lose, that's a warning sign to you. That's like your light on your dashboard of your vehicle going off, and that laser melting that fat away is like you taking a surgical instrument and just unscrewing that light bulb off your dashboard. It looks like you took care of the problem, but the thing under the hood that actually created the problem, it's still down in there doing damage, and it's going to get you. But your warning signal is gone now. So that fat's a warning signal. You're storing this excess fat for a reason. The reason that you're doing that is causing other damage in the body too, like type 2 diabetes. It's the same underlying issue. So we're just going to...
Hypertension.
Hypertension, sleep apnea, all these things. You've got underlying disorder, underlying inflammation, underlying metabolic disorder. And that's still going to be there even when the laser takes the fat away. So that's one. That's number one. You're kind of just doing a Band-Aid quick fix, but you're not really fixing the real issue. And the second, but, yeah, you can spend a lot of money and keep that fat off. But, again, you're not addressing the issue under the hood. So that thing is going to kill you eventually. It's going to hurt you and kill you down the road, the thing that's caused your fat to come on. So let's just review that real quick. Three main hormones tell you to store fat. And, again, fat, weight gain is a hormone issue. It's not a calories in, calories out. So I think he mentioned just don't eat. Well, no, we have our patients eat a ton. We have them eat a lot of calories. This gentleman, we're about to release his testimonial, which I encourage the caller to keep an eye out for. That'll be on our Facebook page and our website shortly. he lost the 75 pounds he did in 4 months, and he ate a bunch of food, but occasionally he didn't eat. So he implemented fasting, but he implemented a ketogenic type of diet that's a high-fat, moderate protein, low-carb, and he ate well when he ate. And high-fat, that equals high-calorie. So he ate a lot of calories. He ate well. He did not deprive himself. He specifically speaks to that in the testimonial. He didn't feel deprived. And when he fasted. And all these techniques.
Did he do the 24-hour or intermittent?
I don't recall for sure. I don't know that he said it on there. He may have done some longer ones, 3 or 4 days. But the point is what the gentleman in the testimonial did is he addressed the metabolic dysfunction at the cellular level. And therefore, his inflammation went down, his sleep apnea and hypertension and aches and pains, and of course, the weight went away. But let's go back to your three. The way you gain weight is...
And no exercise? Did he do any exercise at all?
No. I mean, he may have gone for a few walks or something, but...
But no.
We specifically...
Getting in the gym.
No, we specifically tell patients, don't do that. Partly for the psychology of it. We want to prove to them this is not about calories in, calories out. Secondly, we want to reinforce the idea that exercises should be enjoyable, number one, stress-free, number two, and even a stress reducer. And then number three, it needs to be the focus needs to be oxygenation. The reason we would want to move more mostly is to oxygenate ourselves. We need oxygen going into the carburetor at the cellular level into your mitochondria. I mean, sleep apnea, what's that? Sleep apnea is a compression of your airway. Your windpipe, the back of your throat, windpipe, it all gets compressed where you don't get enough oxygen into the body all night long when you're asleep, and therefore the brain won't go into deep sleep. But also, the consequence of this low oxygen state, it causes metabolic dysfunction, which translates to hypertension, congestive heart failure, depression, diabetes, in all sorts of increased disease states just from lack of oxygen. That we call it a disease called sleep apnea. When you restore the oxygen back to the patient, what happens? Their hypertension goes away. Their mood and depression can improve. Their diabetes and heart failure can go away. So all these quote-unquote diseases, heart failure, hypertension, diabetes, and depression, went away. How? By giving one nutrient. What nutrient? Oxygen. Could it be that simple? Just give oxygen back to the mitochondria. Yes, it can be that simple. And so that's what we're talking about, restoring order, metabolic order to your cells. One of those things to bring order, you need oxygen. Exercise will bring more oxygen in. But back to your three fat storage hormones, you can't make 75 pounds of fat unless you tell your body to do that. How do you tell your body to do that? Hormones. Hormones are communicating molecules in the body, and there's three main ones. The number one communication they're doing to you is telling you to make a fat cell and store the fat. Store fat, store fat, store fat. So if you're telling yourself that all day long, then you're going to make 75 pounds of fat. So reverse that. Don't tell yourself that all day long. So your number one fat storage hormone is insulin. Insulin tells you to make fat. So how do you make insulin? By eating carbs, breads, pastas, crackers, cereal, cookies, sugar. Anything that has sugar and grains, corn, wheat, and rice turn right into sugar. White potatoes are another one. So these things that turn into sugar readily in the body, and pretty much every processed food has sugar already added to it, including everything. I mean, go look at a box or a jar or can of anything coming off the shelf. And 90% odds there's going to be sugar in it. If it ends in OSE, that's a code name for sugar, like dextrose, maltose, high fructose, corn syrup. So sugar's added to all the processed foods, and then the grains turn into sugar. So this makes you spike insulin. If you start your day with a bowl of Wheaties, skim milk, OJ, whole wheat toast with some jelly, that's a major, major insulin spike you just created. Because that's nothing but sugar and grains that turn into sugar. So if you're doing that at breakfast, lunch, and supper, and snack, if you're spiking insulin all day long because you're eating so much carb and sugar, you will store fat, period. Your second one is estrogen. Estrogen, the double-edged sword of these fat cells, is your own fat cells make estrogen. And then estrogen tells you to store more fat. So now you're in this vicious cycle. If you got fat cells from your insulin spike, and now those fat cells are making estrogen, that tells you to store more fat. And then your third one are what we call growth factors. These are molecules created when you're inflamed. And we've talked about this, that iron is the number one thing that inflames us, excess iron. They've been adding iron to the grain, iron-fortified foods, including baby formula to bread, since the 1940s, because they thought we needed more iron. It turns out we didn't need more iron. The body recycles iron amazingly well. We only need about a milligram or two a day because we recycle it so well. But when you eat 30 milligrams a day because you're eating all this processed grain, that gives you extra iron in the body. Extra iron will rust you from the inside out. It drives oxidative stress and free radicals, and you will be rusty. That's inflamed. When you're inflamed, you create these growth factors that tell you to store fat. So it's a vicious cycle of fat storage. So how do you deal with that? You don't eat carbs, or you eat very little carbs. And that's what Michael did on the testimonial, and Missy, his wife, on the testimonial that's coming out. They cut their carb consumption way, way, way down. That means they cut their insulin spike way, way, way down. That means they cut the signal to store fat way, way, way down. So they ate high fat, moderate protein. Too much protein can actually turn into sugar, and that will spike your insulin and tell you to store fat. So we moderate the protein, low carb, and occasionally fast, and you'll lose the 75 pounds. But not only will you lose that, you'll reverse your diabetes, hypertension, sleep apnea, and anything else. And the weight's not going to come back next year, and you don't have to empty your bank account buying laser treatments. Now, I'm not against necessarily the laser, like I said, if it's safe and effective and, you know, you're not going to hurt yourself and you're not, if you have the money to do it, fine. You want to get a quick fix. It's okay to do a quick fix as long as you're also going to follow that up with the truth, the education that we talked about at the top of the show. Understand the why behind why you got those 75 pounds to begin with. Why do you have type 2 diabetes? Once you educate yourself and understand the why, and then you implement the changes in your diet and lifestyle, just to get back to how your great-grandparents lived and ate. This isn't a diet. It's just a change of life out of the standard American life back to our original American life, back to what our great-grandparents used to do. They ate a high-fat, moderate protein, low carb diet. Occasionally they ate more carb, like in the summer when the fruit trees bloomed and produced fruit, they'd eat more fruit. And in the winter they wouldn't. They didn't have access 24/7 to all this fruit. So be careful on the fruit. I think he mentioned eating more fruit and veggies. I'm all about the veggies. Careful on the fruit. But just get back to eating the way our ancestors have always eaten. Humans have always eaten until the past 70 or 80 years in America. So there's my two cents on the laser treatment. I'm not anti-laser. I'm pro the truth. And so combine the two if you want to. Otherwise, call back next year at this time and tell me how it went. Just zapping your fat with lasers only.
See if it holds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that some people get into, even people that are relatively in great shape. And, you know, again, I want to throw my wife out there in this mix. You know, she's great shape, but she'll look in the mirror and go, oh, I've got this place on my arm or this or that, and I wish I could go in and do a lipo. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, there are some places, I guess, that people have a tough time maybe but again, it's hard for me to criticize because I go back and forth all the time on a lot of this.
That's our culture. I mean, this perfection, we have to have a physical, perfected body. We have to look a certain way and keep up with the Joneses, and I'm not getting on to Melody. That's everybody. I mean, everybody's like that. Listening. We got to look a certain way, and that makes us feel good about ourselves. And so there's a lot of psychology there and the culture that we live in.
The key is, though, is the health aspect.
That's absolutely
I mean, the vanity is one thing, but if you're – you know, I see a lot of people on social media, and congratulations to those folks. They'll do a lot of before and afters, or they compete in these, the physical fitness triathlons and all that kind of stuff, and that's great.
Yeah.
But knowing the fact that you are, you know, there's a point that you get to where it gets to a vanity situation. To where is it a healthy situation?
Right.
I mean, I've actually known people who are really ripped, look great, but it's like a deck of cards.
Yeah.
On the inside, they're just
totally messed up. They look good on the outside, but yeah, they've done a lot of things to achieve these goals.
You can do
You can
some,
overdo it yes, and then still jack up your health.
Yep. Yep, there's now lots of ways to try to manipulate the body's physiology to try to get down to a very small percent body fat or get a certain look, a certain shape. There's lots of things you can do to try to force that. But that's not necessarily healthy either.
That's right.
I mean, these I'm all for being fit, but there's an extreme you can get into. And I mean, my sister just tore her meniscus for the third time. She in high school playing basketball, she was an all-state basketballer. Tore it in high school, tore it later in young adult life, and then tore it last week at 40 years old playing basketball. But she's kind of a triathlete marathon gal too. And there's a balance, and I'm not saying she's totally out of balance, although I might have to have a talk with her. The wear and tear that you can put on your body, you know, is that the original intent of God's design to put your body through that extreme of an intense amount of exercise, especially I'm talking marathons.
Yeah.
That can be a big stress to the body. We think of stress as being, you know, working 80-hour work weeks or having, you know, just so much extracurricular activity. We don't get home till 10 o'clock at night. We're eating on the run all the time. Yeah, that's all a stress too, or divorce or financial stress or whatever. But marathons is a big stress. Some extreme exercise techniques, that's a stress on the body. It will cause your hormone, the adrenal gland in particular, and your hormone system, neuroendocrine systems, to all get a little jacked out, whacked up. There's that jacked up, whacked out, but out of order. You can become out of order when you're extreme in your physical stuff.
And I would also suggest that any, you know, people listening right now who say, yeah, I want to join a gym, I'm going to go right in the gym and just start pushing a lot of weight around, and they've been a couch potato all year.
Oh, yeah. Get ready for the
be
oops.
Extremely careful about that idea.
One of the best things you do is just stretch.
Yeah.
Stretch.
I like jumping on a
gentle
on
walking.
On the bounce, rebound.
Mini trampoline.
Those are good.
There's some really good things you can do.
That is not just crazy on your joints.
Functional movements. Yeah. You know, CrossFit, I'm not – there can be extreme CrossFit, but, you know, kind of the original CrossFit, I call it, would be just functional movements. You know, I tell my patients, my older patients, more mature patients, hey, if we can keep your muscles, your core muscles that allow you to squat, keep those going. Because that'll allow you to get off a toilet. You can go to the bathroom by yourself without assistance.
That's so key.
You've got to have your core where you can roll out of bed. You know, if you can't get out of bed on your own, you end up in the nursing home. If you can't get off the toilet, you end up in the nursing home. The core muscles that allow you to get up off the floor if you fell or were on the floor. So getting out of bed, off the floor, and getting off a toilet, those involve some functional movements, core movements that'll keep you out of the nursing home.
Great point.
So,
great point.
I'm not anti-exercise or anti-doing certain things, but try to keep it functional, keep those muscles fit and stretched out appropriately, but then oxygenate yourself is really the focus. When you sit in a chair all day, you're not breathing deeply, and therefore you're not getting one of the primary nutrients your mitochondria, your energy factory, your carburetor needs is oxygen. So,
well, study after study I've read recently is that I used to be a big runner. I mean, a big, big runner, even up until, like, say, 10 years ago or so. But as I got older, running was just getting to where it hurt. And now I found out after exhaustive studies and reading about this that I can get just as much benefit out of brisk walking 30 minutes a day.
Yes, you can.
And that's amazing to me. I mean, you could get on a treadmill, uphill, vary it up, this kind of stuff, and still get that oxygenation you're talking about. Without having to, you know, go out there and say, well, I'm just going to go run a 10K today, and then you end up in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, and
it doesn't work like that.
No, you've got to be careful there. There are the endorphin release, you know, those hormones that make you feel really good. And a lot of that long running can release those endorphins to that point. It becomes kind of addictive for some of these folks.
But it tears them up later
but
in life.
Yeah, it can definitely tear you up. So be careful there. I always look back to the longevity village, that village in China where they have a high percentage of their population lives to be over 100 years old. But they're active and they're healthy. They're not in the nursing home. They're not demented. They're not arthritic. They're still out in the rice field working at 100 years old. And I just think about, how did they live? Did they go do extreme exercise or run a marathon? And no, they did functional movements throughout their day, these basic things. So it should be enjoyable, stress-free, and oxygenate you, and preferably outside in sunlight, which is a whole nother talk about the light exposure and what a beneficial thing it is to get light exposure. But calories in, calories out, eat low fat or restrict yourself and count calories and points and go to the gym and work out a bunch. That whole thing that probably 90% of America is thinking is the right way to go, and they're about to employ those false techniques come January 2nd. You know, it's sad because it's not going to work. It's going to be short-lived.
You can't sustain it.
Now, the couple that our testimonial video that's about to come out, they're going to be able to sustain and live like this the rest of their life, and they're going to enjoy it. It'll be fine and fun and great, no problem. And not only do they look great, their diseases have gone, quote-unquote diseases, their consequences have gone away. So they just cut their risk for Alzheimer's, heart attack, stroke, all the top killers that all their peers will be dealing with. They're going to be much more likely to sail into their 80s, 90s, or even 100s, functional, not in the nursing home, and enjoying life all the days of their life.
Good point. Quick break. We're coming right back. Stick around. Welcome back into A Year of the Cure right here on AM 580, Veritas Medical. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, You're the Cure. Check out our website, veritasmedical.com. For archived programs, you can certainly do that. Check it out there at veritasmedical.com. Okay, to the text line we go. And, of course, phone lines, text line always available throughout the broadcast here today at 806-745-5800. Matt texting in saying, speaking of oxygen, have you heard of the Wim Hof breathing method? It's a deep breathing technique that has helped a lot of people. And he spelled it W-I-M-H-O-F breathing method, Dr. Edwards. Wim Hof breathing method.
I have not heard.
Breathe in through your nose. I'm sure something to that. I have not heard of it myself either, but that's not to say that it's not real.
Well, I'm reading it right now. While using your midriff fully, inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, use short and powerful bursts, close your eyes, and repeat 30 times. You can become lightheaded during the exercise or experience tingling. I've not heard of this. I'll definitely look at it. But I can, in general, say that breathing techniques like this one, where you can get the oxygen in more forcefully and use your diaphragm the right way, the muscles that bring the air in most efficiently, can be exceedingly beneficial. And if it takes a technique like that where you schedule it or you have some time set aside to make yourself do that, do it. And same with exercise. If you're going to sit in a chair all day long for 8 hours and you need to set a reminder on your watch or whatever to get up for 2 minutes even, hourly, and just walk down the hall, do it. Employ whatever technique you need to do. Just the thought of sit all day and then go to the gym for 45 minutes at the end of the day, number one, studies show that that doesn't erase all the negative effects of sitting all day.
Yeah.
Number two, most people are pretty busy, and to try to force another hour on your day after you're tired after a long day of work, usually that's not sustainable. It's not going to keep happening. So finding ways to move and stand up throughout your day, finding ways, especially once the weather's nice, to get outside and go on a leisurely walk with a loved one and talk. Get off your iPhone, get off the TV. So doing some exercises that are enjoyable is the thing that I most encourage. But breathing techniques like this Wim Hof, it looks like a great idea to me. I'll definitely look into it for sure.
Yeah, I definitely have heard of something to that effect. I didn't know that's what it was called, but that's always good. I mean, and we were talking during the break, Doctor, about the fact that posture – we've talked about it before. I mean, one of the things, I mean, I don't do New Year's resolutions per se, but I do take a checklist of, okay, what I've been doing wrong. And there's a lot of things I do wrong, and I'm going to correct those in the new year. But one of them that speaking of posture, but, you know, I'm going to stay
more proactive in my chiropractic adjustments, mm-hmm. things like that. That's part of that movement too, but stretching and yep. not doing enough of that, and that needs to happen. So
yeah, definitely.
Good morning. Welcome into the show.
Hi.
Yes, go
Hello?
Ahead. Yes, uh-huh.
The question I had, I read recently on the website about histamine intolerance. Could you ask Dr. Ben to speak to that, what it is? And
histamine intolerance.
Histamine intolerance.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for the call.
So basically, histamine is a chemical in the body, the part of your weapons of mass destruction, I call them. The immune system has all sorts of different chemicals it can employ to help rid the body of certain germs or toxins. Histamine is one of those. So when the body releases histamine, some of the effects of that y'all are familiar with, like seasonal allergies, you can get clear, watery eyes, itchy eyes, you can get sneezing, you can get a runny nose, kind of that allergy symptom. But if a whole lot of histamine is released, you can also have systemic effects, oftentimes like whelps, you know, hives and whelps. That's histamine response. So histamine is a chemical that the immune system can release. Now, typically, the immune system cells called mast, M-A-S-T, mast cells, will release this histamine in just little bursts, little squirts of it here and there. Instead of just dumping an entire load of histamine out into the body. But the mechanism to regulate that, to prevent the body from just dumping a whole lot of histamine all at once, there's multiple regulatory steps in it, but one of the primary ones that I see that patients have trouble with when they don't regulate that histamine response adequately enough, it's because of copper, low bioavailable copper. We've talked about lots of times with Morley Robbins that copper has been about 80% depleted in our food crops, our vegetable and fruit crops over the last 50 years. And animal sources of copper primarily would be the organ meats. The organ meats are have lots of minerals, but copper in particular. So heart, liver, kidney. And people tend to not eat the organ meats anymore. We just eat the muscle meats like the filet mignons and T-bones and ribeyes. So we're just missing copper. And so if someone doesn't have the right amount of copper, they can get this histamine intolerance where it's just any little thing will trip off their histamine release inappropriately and too aggressively, and they can have lots of different symptoms. Mostly what we see in our clinic would be skin symptoms like whelps. Sometimes there's a trigger we can identify that will trip them up and cause them to dump way too much histamine. Sometimes there's not a trigger that we can figure out. So we typically try to address that through remineralization, obviously get the copper back up where it should be. So that's kind of a general overview. Hope that answered the question. Otherwise, you do histamine blockers, Allegra, Claritin, Zyrtec, Benadryl, steroids, steroid shots, Kenalog shots. A lot of people are familiar with these drugs. Prednisone's a steroid. These are drugs that'll block the histamine response, basically.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago on the show, I talked about the fact that for the first time, and I've lived out in West Texas my whole life, but the first time ever that during ginning season, I started to feel a little bit stuffy.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, what's going on there? Well, it could be because my body's maybe fighting off a bunch of other stuff. That's always true. But it just sometimes I think we get to a point maybe where we're so overloaded with stuff.
That's it. I think right? That's where I lean is it's kind of like the balance, Lady Liberty, or the justice scales. When you're weighing something out, you have a scale on each side. And so if you start stacking a bunch of stuff on one side of your scale, stuff meaning toxins or things the body doesn't necessarily need or like, or that can damage the body, and the body's got to deal with them and get rid of them, and it's ubiquitous in our world. So we sleep on mattresses that have flame retardant chemicals, so that chemical absorbs through our skin or inhaling it. There's formaldehyde in the particle board that makes up our cabinetry. There's fumes coming out of that new car smell. There's tons of chemicals in our water. I mean, pharmaceuticals to heavy metals to you name it. A lot of them are at low levels and acceptable levels, quote unquote. But this cumulative effect, newborn babies, 286 different chemicals in the umbilical cord blood of a newborn baby in America. This was in 2001 that study came out. Pesticides are in the air, they're on our food. So my point is there's just so many things you can stack on the one side that the body's going to have to use its detox pathways and detox enzymes and antioxidant enzymes to deal with these, to neutralize these, or to flush the body's flush these out of the body. So on the other side of the scale, you've got to have all the nutrients that your body requires to run your antioxidant enzyme system, to run your detox enzymes, to run all these pathways that the body naturally will employ to deal with all the chemical exposures. So if it becomes a matter of accumulating too many things on the one side, toxins and chemicals and whatnot, and you don't have enough good support on the other side, you don't have the copper, for example, you don't have the minerals, then eventually your body's going to start showing symptoms of this overload of toxicity. So could be that, Wade. You're just reaching a time in your life. You've run out of the good stuff on the one side to battle all these various toxins and germs. Or you just over time become overloaded.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's exactly and because since the caller was talking about, you know, histamines and things like that. I mean, again, I have no known allergies, but my whole life. But if something goes a little bit awry, or if I start having, you know, if I'm doing something that's not corrected, and then the body starts saying, "Oh, now you've got allergies." Right. Well, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I've done something wrong, and I need to correct what I'm doing to say. Just like with diabetes and a lot of these other things.
Yeah. And people probably get tired of hearing the same old answer is minerals, minerals, minerals. But
yeah.
When you go deep enough, that's the common denominator in all these various diseases. What I really want to drive home the point here is there's enzymes that do all this work. When I talk about detoxing or antioxidant stuff, but even your thyroid, you know, to produce thyroid hormone, to produce stomach acid, to build bone so you don't get osteoporosis, to make your good healthy cholesterol, turn your LDL into HDL, to making vitamin D, to even your retina, your eyeball, to prevent cataracts and macular degeneration. There's enzymes that are doing all this work. In the eyeball, in the bone, stomach acid, everywhere. The whole body, there's 9,000 plus enzymes. So what are enzymes really doing? They're doing the actual physical work in the body. Cholesterol gets converted into vitamin D when sun hits your skin, but it's an enzyme that's actually clipping a molecule off the cholesterol, so now it's a different molecule. It's a vitamin D molecule now, but it's an enzyme that actually did that pruning or addition of a molecule. So that's how we actually build stuff. It's how we build muscle. It's how we build hormones. It's how we build our hair and nails. It's how we build everything. And we got to remember, we're always building new cells. Your cells die all the time. Your gut lining every 4 days, your liver cells every 8 weeks, the rods and cones in the back of your eyeball every 48 hours, roughly. Your skin every 4 weeks. So you're always regenerating yourself. So how do you do this? Enzymes. Enzymes are doing the work in the body. So no matter what disease, quote unquote, you walk in the door with, you know, tons of hypothyroid patients come in our door. Well, there's an enzyme that makes your thyroid hormone and that converts it from the storage form called T4 into the active form called T3. It's an enzyme that clips that iodine molecule off of T4 to turn it into T3. So that's what people have to understand is enzymes are doing the work, and if those enzymes aren't working properly, you'll have a symptom. We call it a disease. We may call it diabetes or Alzheimer's or heart attacks or cancer or whatever. But enzymes run off minerals. Minerals are the key that turns on the enzyme so the enzyme can go do the work. So that's why we're always talking about minerals. You just keep going lower and down and deeper to the root cause, and you end up at these enzymes, and you end up really at the lack of minerals that turn these enzymes on. So That's why we're always talking about minerals. And magnesium in particular turns on 3700. That's 42% of your enzymes in your body have to run off mag. Magnesium happens to be the mineral that we burn through the fastest when we're under stress. So magnesium's a key mineral to turn on the enzymes. Copper is a key mineral to turn on these enzymes. Iron, excess iron. We need some iron. We need, I think it's 5,000 milligrams of iron in the body. But excess iron causes all kinds of havoc, and it disrupts these enzymes, your antioxidant enzymes in particular. So we just keep going back to these basic things because those are the basic things. When folks listen to the testimonial video that we'll be putting out, they do mention they took a few supplements. But what they took was magnesium, vitamin C because it has copper in it, whole food vitamin C has copper in it, and cod liver oil. And the cod liver oil is there for the retinol. Retinol is a form of vitamin A that you need to allow your copper to work right. So that was it. We gave them those three supplements not to make them lose weight. We don't do weight loss supplements. We gave them those three supplements because they were the key foundational nutrients that their diet was missing. So we had to replace them. You can try to eat enough copper and retinol and magnesium, but it's really hard. But that is the long-term goal, to teach you how to eat it. But until our farmers get on board and help us out, it's going to be hard to do that. So we gave that couple, or we recommended they do those three supplements, along with changing their diet, along with de-stressing, along with walking around a little bit to oxygenate. And voila, their body worked right. Their diseases went away. So,
One of the things I want to incorporate, and I started already, but I want to do more of that, is to increase my intake of fermented foods.
Yes, that is so essential because those are the good bacteria in the gut. And if we miss those, we're missing a lot of good information.
That's right. I'm really concerned about the fact that I have not been doing. I mean, I'll look at my overall situation. I think, okay, where are the holes that I'm missing?
Yep.
As far as supplementation or even foods that I eat, that's one big one that
that's
I have missed.
Most Americans and most modern societies or Western kind
of
societies.
I love sauerkraut. Yeah. It's all right.
When we move to our new facility, there's going to be a demonstration kitchen, and I've instructed our wellness navigators to employ that kitchen daily with the focus to be on fermented foods. Of course, real food, you know, how to flip these recipes back into really, I think what I want to find them is a cookbook from the 1800s and just get them to start cooking like our great grandparents did and teach our patients how to do that. But fermented foods, ancient grains, ancient preparation techniques that the native cultures used to use, because people did eat grains, but they weren't modified, adulterated, altered by man, sprayed with glyphosate, which is Roundup. They weren't hybridized, usually they would soak them, or they would use the whole grain, or they would ferment them and make sourdough breads. So there's lots of techniques in the kitchen that we've kind of lost, and fermentation's one of them. Before refrigeration, that was one. Salting with real salt, not modern man-made table salt, but real salt and fermentation. Those are two great techniques with lots of health benefits. I was refreshing my memory on some of my interviews with Morley, and he reminded me, or on one of the shows, talked about how Christopher Columbus lost like 90% of his crew. I think Magellan lost 90%+ also of his crew. But Captain Cook, hardly any of his crew died, and it's because he fed him sauerkraut. And what the studies were showing was cabbage has like 60 milligrams of vitamin C, which has copper in it. A cup of cabbage. But when you ferment that and turn that cup of cabbage into a cup of sauerkraut, 600 milligrams of vitamin C. So the nutrient content of the foods exponentially increases when you allow these good bacteria to do what they do. So not only are you going to get the good bacteria in your gut way better than taking a probiotic and a pill, but you're getting way more bang for your buck from a nutrient standpoint when you eat these fermented foods. So Captain Cook, I don't think he knew all that, but he just knew when his men ate sauerkraut, they did better. But now we know why they did better.
Well, the whole term of limey and all that. I mean, they started to kind of figure this out down the road, going, hey,
yep.
Can't, you know, we got to have these things on board ship or we're going to be sick in three right. months.
So I would say people's New Year's resolutions needs to be education, 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 understand the why behind all this stuff, and then get the support. In fact, I'm really looking at how to add to our business model at the clinic. I mean, we see really sick people. We spend a lot of time with each patient. You know, I'm about to go see a new patient right when I leave here. I'm going to spend 2 hours with her. I get discouraged because, number one, these patients are so sick. I'm sad they had to wait this long to come see us, but that's human nature. We won't do something till we're hurting real bad. But the flip side of that is they need so much support. It takes 2 hours to do a visit. We can't see many. I mean, we fill up. I'm only in my lifetime at this pace, I'll maybe affect 10,000 lives. Well, my goal is to affect maybe 5% of Texas. There's 28 million people in Texas. I've got to pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting to is adding Veritas Education or Veritas Wellness. It's not doctoring at all because, again, you don't need the doctor. You need the education. So we're looking into how we can come up with an education program / support program. So educate, but then support people and teach them how to live this way and how to eat this way and how to get back to their ancestral way of eating and living so we can hit a million Texans before they need a doctor and hopefully keep them out of the doctor's office.
Keep them out of the hospital.
So that's my New Year's resolution.
Well, that's
provide a better means of educating and supporting folks before they need the doctor so that we can close Veritas Medical's doors.
Yeah. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But I highly doubt that. Of course, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, everybody, you're the cure. Check us out on the website, veritasmedical.com. We'll be off for the next couple of Mondays because of the holidays. Of course, Christmas Eve Day and New Year's. But so January 7th, Monday, will be our next show back with you, Dr. Edwards. So have a wonderful Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and everybody at Veritas.
Well, thank you, Wade. You have a Merry Christmas yourself. Thank you for the year. It's been a great one. I appreciate you opening the airwaves up to let us educate everybody.
Absolutely. We'll see you back here January 7th, Monday, right here on AM 580.